Welcome back, everybody. I'm calling a county board meeting to order. If the clerk would please call the roll.
Furman. Furman here, Glazer.
Glazer here.
Glazer here, Gray.
Gray here.
Gray here. Huselman. Huselman absent. Jackson.
Jackson here.
Jackson here, Kemp. Kemp here, Kagea. Kagea absent. Crowning. Crowning. Crowning absent. Marin.
Marin here.
Marin here. McCarville. McCarville absent. Peters.
Here.
Peters here. Peterson.
Peterson here.
Postler.
Postler here.
Postler here. Ritt.
Ritt here.
Ritt here. Rose.
Rose here.
Rose here. Rylander.
Here.
Rylander here. Smith. Smith here. Udell.
Here.
Udell here. Veldren.
Here.
Veldren here. Wegleitner. Wegleitner here. Wagon.
Here.
Wagon here. Welsh. Welsh here. Yang.
Yang here.
Yang here. Andre. Andre here. Baruchuk. Baruchuk here, Blazewicz. Blazewicz here, Betcher. Betcher here, Bollig.
Bollig here.
Bollig here, Brower. Brower here, Chavla. Chavla here, Doolin.
Doolin here.
Doolin here, Downing.
Downing here.
Downing here, Eicher. Eicher here, Engelberger. Engelberger here, Erickson. Erickson here, Freeze. Freeze here, Miles.
Miles here.
Miles here, we have a quorum.
It's like we never left. Supervisor Furman will provide our inspirational message tonight.
Thank you, Chair. Two inspirational speeches in 1 week. We're really doing this, aren't we? I'll keep it brief. Throughout the year, other supervisors have rightfully so pointed out the chaos we're seeing the federal government inflict on our neighbors. What was previously thought to be unimaginable uses of the American government to torment people in our country is happening and escalating. I'm not going to focus on detailing those abuses. We had a long week and passed a difficult budget. So often our jobs are focused on what's broken, but shortly before we celebrate Thanksgiving, I want to speak about something else entirely, something I know I don't do enough. I want to talk about the profound importance of recognizing the good that persists even in our most challenging moments. Gratitude isn't about being blindly optimistic or ignoring life's challenges. Instead, it's a deliberate choice to acknowledge difficulty while also recognizing hope, a way of resisting hopelessness by seeing both hardship and possibilities. When we think about gratitude, we often focus on family, friends, and personal achievements. There's a lot to be said for those things, but tonight I want to focus on gratitude for things that aren't broken in this county. There's an entire network of county services working behind the scenes that deserves our appreciation, services so essential that most only notice them when they're gone. Consider the dispatcher who answers when you call 911, a calm voice in your moment of crisis, ensuring additional help is on the way. Think about the deputies patrolling our communities, responding to emergencies, investigating crimes, and building relationships. I'm grateful for the social workers who step in when children need protection, who support families in crisis, and who ensure our elderly neighbors and those with disabilities can live with dignity. These professionals carry heavy burdens, so the most vulnerable in our community don't have to face theirs alone. I appreciate the highway crews who clear roads at 3 a.m. during snowstorms, the librarians opening doors to knowledge and resources for every resident regardless of income, and the land and water specialists protecting the natural resources that sustain us. I'm grateful too for park staff who preserve green space where we can breathe, play, and reconnect with nature. I'm thankful for veterans service staff who honor those served by helping them navigate benefits they've earned and pretrial services and justice reform teams working to create a fairer system. I'm grateful for the county board staff who support supervisors in serving our constituents, who help translate community concerns into action, and who ensure that every voice seeking to be heard in local government finds a pathway to participation. Even services we hope to never need, the medical examiner bringing closure to grieving families, emergency management preparing for disasters, family court services helping children during difficult transitions, these represent our community's commitment to supporting each other through every circumstance. County government isn't glamorous, but it's part of the foundation of civilized community life. The promise that someone will answer when we need help, that our natural resources are maintained and protected, that vulnerable people won't be forgotten, and that we're all in this together. Let's not lose sight of why we do this work, because we believe in the possibility of progress, because we trust in the capacity of good people to create good outcomes, because we know that even small improvements in policy can mean profound changes in individual lives. The world is indeed complicated, the challenges are real and serious, but gratitude is not about denying difficulty, it's about maintaining perspective. It's about remembering that throughout history, people have faced dark times before and found their way through. It's about recognizing that for every force that seeks to divide or destroy, there are countless forces working to heal and unite. Like Mr. Rogers taught us, we can look for the helpers, see them, acknowledge them, and support them. The world needs our careful attention to its problems, but it also needs our recognition of its profound beauty, its persistent goodness, and its endless possibility for renewal. So give thanks, give hope, and give your best. Thank you, and happy early Thanksgiving to you and yours. Please join me in the pledge.
The Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Supervisor Furman. We are now on to special matters and announcements. Tonight we have one item for special matters. That's Resolution 208, recognizing the impact of 4-H clubs, members, and volunteers in Dane County. Supervisor Smith, which one do you want to go to?
All right. 2025 Res 208, recognizing the impact of 4-H clubs, members, and volunteers in Dane County. 4-H is a youth leadership organization that empowers young people through opportunities to grow and thrive, guided by the life skills model built around the four H's of the 4-H clover, which symbolize head, heart, health, and hands. And whereas annual National 4-H Week was commemorated this year from October 5th to October 11th, 2025, and highlighted the impact of 4-H programs and the dedication of its volunteers, educators, and supporters. And whereas youth participants in Dane County 4-H grow and expand their horizons by developing leadership skills through elected club positions as president, historian, treasurer, and more. They also have the opportunity to learn and connect with youth members across the country, which helps them build a global worldview and better understand their roles in the world. And whereas Dane County 4-Hers are active contributors in our communities, learning the importance of volunteerism through various acts of service, such as playing bingo with local senior citizens, cleaning up stretches of highway, making blankets for people in need, and placing flags at local cemeteries to recognize Memorial Day. And whereas participation in the Dane County Fair teaches 4-Hers the value of practice, dedication, and organization as they learn and display their diverse skills and take pride in presenting their projects and animals. 4-H members who show animals enjoy talking with fair attendees about the effort and preparation that went into getting their goat, cow, llama, or rabbit ready to show. And whereas through UW Extension programs such as 4-H and the Youth Governance Program, youth build confidence, strengthen their voices, and learn to engage thoughtfully in discussions on complex issues, advocating for themselves and others. Older participants also serve as mentors, modeling leadership and offering guidance to younger members. And whereas Dane County 4-H has 918 youth members and 247 adult volunteers representing 33 community clubs, the Youth Governance Program, By Youth for Youth, and the Youth Advocates for Community Health Program. These intergenerational partnerships are at the heart of 4-H's success, giving adult mentors and youth members a space to grow, learn, and lead together. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors recognizes the 4-H members, volunteers, and UW Extension staff that continue to make 4-H such a successful and impactful program. So moved.
Moved by Smith, seconded by Postler. All in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. That motion carries. The resolution is adopted.
Right. And I just have a couple of comments. Unfortunately, we don't have any 4-H speakers here tonight. They actually have a big 4-H event, so they cannot be here. But 4-H is all about youth-led work, and I work with 4-H youth to write this resolution. So all of the things I referenced, the playing bingo with seniors and making blankets, those are all things that 4-H youth shared with me as some of the highlights of the work that they've done this year or done in the club with their clubs in the past. So we also got some other feedback from some members that I wanted to share. A Happy Hikers Club member, also 4-H clubs have the best names, so a Happy Hikers Club member shared that it's a way to meet new people and try new things. Some other Happy Hikers members shared that the club held a food drive for Sunshine Place and a diaper and wipe drive for parents in need. A Moundsview Mountaineers Club member said that 4-H is important to them because they can connect with other kids around the state and the country. I also was able to attend a Dane Dandy Doers 4-H Club meeting in Supervisor Posler's district. Yes, that's right, Dane Dandy Doers. They were a great club. They were I'm so glad they welcomed me. There were a lot of really engaged youth members there, and we got some really good feedback from both the youth members and their grown-ups that were with them, so I just wanted to read a couple of things. They wrote little slips of paper with some of the things they're proudest of accomplishing in 4-H. One was going from someone who wasn't involved in 4-H to being an advocate for Wisconsin's beef and dairy industries and spreading love for agriculture. Another was the question, what makes you proud of your club? The amount of young kids involved. That was from one of the leaders in the club, one of the elected leaders. What 4-H project have you been the proudest of? Showing Lucky my cow. What makes you proud of your club? Using teamwork, participating, and giving back to the community. So those are just a couple of examples, but I have, as you can see, a number of papers here. They were all very thrilled to share and happy to have the opportunity to highlight for all of you the value of 4-H in our communities. And what has become a tradition for just me personally, and you're all gonna have to sit through it, is what the actual pledge of 4-H is. So this is what we do at a 4-H club meeting, is you give the pledge of allegiance and then immediately go into the 4-H pledge. Which is, I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Smith. I was watching a few people do the hand motions out there. I think Supervisor Erickson broke into the Macarena. All right, maybe I'm dating myself with that. Okay, sure. Oh, Supervisor Erickson.
Thank you for this. This was great. My 4-H club was Green Acres, and our neighboring group's name was the Busy Bees.
All right. Moving on to announcements. Anyone with an announcement? Supervisor Posler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tonight I rise to introduce a resolution actually authored by Chair Miles, which establishes an advisory committee on data centers. The committee will be tasked with impartial fact-finding, researching, analyzing, and providing recommendations regarding the economic, environmental, and community implications of data center development in Dane County, and invite you to join me and Chair Miles in co-sponsoring this resolution. It is Res 205.
Thank you, Supervisor Passler. Supervisor Peterson.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to rise and put a little, plant a seed for an ordinance amendment that I have drafted up, and I do have a few peers who have also signed on as co-sponsors. It's 2025-OA-108. It's amending Chapter 25 of the Dane County Code of Ordinances regarding privacy protections. Learned a lot as we went through the jail tablet conversation, and specifically, Supervisor Furman and I talked a lot about privacy protections. I know Rick Rose, Supervisor Rose, and I have also talked about it, and we thought that putting more privacy protections in our contracts would be a good idea. So have a take a look. Feel free to reach out with any questions, but I think it's a good thing. So, thank you. Thank you.
Supervisor Eicher.
Thank you. If you need plans on Friday, the Colonial Club is hosting their Ale Fest. It's a great event. If you like beer, there's like 65 different beers and homebrewers talking about beer. So if you need plans for Friday night, come on out to Sun Prairie, support the Colonial Club, bring friends, support the Colonial Club.
Thank you. Supervisor Rose.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Tonight, I just want to mention a couple things. As a commissioner on the Dane Arts Board, our calendar and poster celebration is tomorrow evening from 5 to 9 over on the east side. I think it's Yogesh's district. I'm sorry, Supervisor. Yogesh, 1226 William Street will be at Cafe Coda. So appreciate you coming out and showing your support for that. And also, since it is Indigenous Heritage Month, there's an event going on now. If we get out by 8 o'clock over at Madison's Children's Museum, honoring the Heritage Celebration, and letting you know that on this Saturday at Arts Lit Lab, also on the east side, is the 2025 Native Art Market with over 40 Native artists represented. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else with an announcement? Otherwise, I have a few. Earlier this afternoon, I sent to you, all of you, an email, but I want to announce it here as well in case you didn't see it. On Thursday, November 20th at 5 o'clock downstairs in the lobby, you are invited to join us in unveiling of some art. We're going to do a land acknowledgement and art dedication. If you recall, some time ago, I had a budget amendment to commission some artwork to basically be our recognition of land acknowledgement. And there will be a portrait unveiled at 5 o'clock that day. So again, check your emails. You have the details there. Also on November 20th, after the county board meeting, I will be hosting our post-budget celebration immediately following the county board meeting. So I'm holding that at the Rigby. So you'll just journey on over there and enjoy some food and good conversation that evening on November 20th. And finally, I think we're all in suspense who the victors are in the second annual board office bake-off. We have a tie for second place. And, apparently we have medals. Josh is getting them, I think. So, tied for second place, we have Lauren. Which bars did Lauren make? The lemon bars, okay? And tied with her was Supervisor Engelberger. Supervisor Engelberger, what was your bar?
Blonde brownies from my mother's recipe back in the 60s.
Huh? It was your first time making that, right?
What's that?
Your first time making it?
First time I ever made them.
Very nice. Yeah.
Surprise, I used gluten-free flour. So.
Oh. I think. So does that put him above? And the grand prize goes to Kayleen with the Carmelitas. Kayleen, do you want to announce who?
Oh, thank you. Oh, geez.
Oh, wait, she has to be coronated.
Thank you so much. What's that?
And the donation is going to go to?
Yes, so we earned $285 tonight, and mm-hmm. It's going to go to Second Harvest Food Bank. So thank
Very
you.
Nice. All right. And how many disqualifications were there this year? Just one? Okay.
Is it gluten-free?
No, because of nuts. So, all right. With that, there being no further announcements, we shall move on to approval of payments. We have the bills over $10,000 referred to the county board as our motion. Moved by Veldren, seconded by Postler. Any questions or comments on the payments? Hearing none, all in favor of approval say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That motion carries. The approval of the payments is made. And we're on to approval of county board minutes. We have the minutes of October 20th and October 23rd before us. Is there a motion? Moved by Peterson, seconded by Kemp. Any questions, corrections on the meeting minutes? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of approval say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That motion carries. The minutes are adopted or approved. So we're on to consent calendar. There are five items. Are there any requests for separation? Hearing no requests for separation. What's
Mr. Chair?
Oh, yes, Supervisor Wigand, I'm guessing.
I'd like to be recorded as voting no on F2 and F3. Thank you.
F2 and F3. Supervisor Wigand would like to be recorded as voting no. And with that, all in favor of the items under the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That motion carries and the items are adopted. On to H, reports on zoning petitions. We have 10 items here. Are there any requests for separation? Seeing none, or hearing none. What is before us is Zoning and Land Regulation Committee recommendations. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. All right. The zoning petitions are adopted. We're on to ordinances. We have one item here. Returning for another time. OA8, amending Chapter 8 of the Dane County Code of Ordinances regarding filling supervisory vacancies. What is before us is Executive Committee recommendation of sub 1 to the ordinance amendment. So with any discussion on that? Supervisor Fries.
Yeah, so I may have the record for the longest page of history now, so that's exciting. But yeah, this is before us once again, and what it is looking at is amending how supervisory vacancies are filled and modeling that off of the state statute for filling supervisory vacancies in most other counties in the state of Wisconsin. So essentially what it does, it looks at our current process and changes it so that all of the special elections are tied directly with regular election cycles. So that would be special elections held in November and April. And as you are looking at the calendar, there happen to be three of those plus the regular spring election per term. So that's a total of four elections per term that are possible to fill a supervisor's seat. The rationale behind this is multifaceted, certainly. Of course, as a student, that is my primary concern, representing the students on UW-Madison campus. And there is concern that special elections could be held when school is not in session. And by modeling this ordinance amendment off of the state statute, they actually provide a very simple fix, following what they've already given us, what the state legislators have given us. So this is a rare example of the state doing something that seems actually somewhat decent, and we don't have to argue too much about as far as changing the rules at that level, which is nice. And like I mentioned, it also syncs the elections with the current election cycle. So not only will we have elections at the proper times, with November and April being those elections, we'll also have nomination signatures and primaries at a very predictable interval, the same as every other regular election that would happen in the state. This also benefits the municipalities. We recently got through a long budget cycle, and a lack of funds was a concern recently. The city of Madison, I believe, estimated about $50,000 were spent on their most recent special election for one seat, and by lumping special elections in with other elections on the ballot, now that we have the city council with staggered terms, those are already scheduled, we save money there as well in Madison and also in other municipalities across the county. Importantly, I also want to stress the impact this might have on those across the county as far as clarity and predictability go beyond just the students. Before us, we have the opportunity to turn a somewhat unpredictable and variable system into one where we know when the election will be held. It'll be held at the next available election if the cycle hasn't started yet, and allows proper time to campaign because you now have August or January primaries and then a campaign period after that, as well as a period of nomination paper circulation that lasts an entire month before that. And I think a major concern was that was brought up frequently was the possibility of very long vacancies that are filled by appointment. And, you know, this is a valid concern. We don't want exorbitant vacancies, and that's why we have tweaked the language from the state statute to mandate special elections. Under state statute, they are simply optional, and I felt that continuing the tradition in Dane County of mandating special elections was vitally important. I would also like to take a look at the current ordinance in Dane County where essentially the first special election that could be held after the start of a supervisor's term would be the seceding April election. That is 1 year from the general election for a supervisor. So that's a one-year term that could be appointed. And recently we saw that we had a supervisor that was unable to take their seat, so we did have an appointment. And in this current ordinance, instead of having a 10-month appointment, but possible 12, it would be immediately sent to election in November rather than 4 months later in April. So really stressing the special election procedure at the beginning of the term, which provides for significant voter opportunity, in fact, greater than we currently have. I think that is generally a clear overview of what is in the brief that was sent out late last night by myself. But of course, welcome to take questions on that and clarify anything if needed.
Thank you, Supervisor Freeze. Supervisor Brower.
Thank you. I rise to speak in support of the measure before us. I want to thank Supervisor Freeze for his leadership on this and the comprehensive overview that he just gave. It actually took a lot of my talking points, made them redundant. I do want to emphasize the point of predictability. We struggle generally in our democracy to engage people. You only have to look at the drop-off of participation from fall elections to spring elections to see that happening, let alone when there are special elections that are scheduled. So in creating a routine process that's synced up with federal, state, and local elections, we provide an opportunity for people to understand when to become a candidate, when the election is going to be held, and I think also importantly along with that, and this was Supervisor Freeze's last point, if our concern is about the discretion that we are entrusting a county board chair with, the role of county board chair, this limits that discretion. It does not expand that discretion. There will be some discretion in the process for an appointment, but it does not expand it. It limits it. And I heard that as a concern last time. So I think if we look at what we have in the status quo and what's proposed in this ordinance amendment, we see an improvement for a whole broad variety of interests in adopting this. So I encourage you to vote in favor of the substitute before us.
Good. Any further comment? Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Okay, you didn't put in the chat, so I didn't know you wanted to speak. Go ahead, Supervisor Wiegand.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Most of you, or hopefully all of you, had a chance to look at the letter that I had sent around a couple weeks ago from several of my constituents. Every single municipal leader in my district is opposed to this ordinance amendment for the simple fact that this expands the county board chair's authority to make appointments. Right now, the county board chair only can make appointments under certain circumstances. And then other times we go to a special election and the constituents, the voters, get to decide who that replacement will be. So while I can appreciate the efforts to align this with already scheduled elections, that's fine. The idea that we're taking any authority away from our voters and constituents and giving it to a single person is the absolute wrong approach. Even if we had a low turnout election, maybe let's say that only 500 or 600 or 700 people voted, that's still hundreds of people that live in that community that got a say in who would be their supervisor rather than one person. And I would always go with 500 people, even though there would be a low turnout election, 500 people in a district, living in that district, paying taxes in that district, knowing the issues that are unique to that district. I trust them over one person who happens to be the county board chair. Further, not a single one of my municipal leaders, and that's the town of Bristol, the village of York, town of York, town of Medina, village of Marshall, none of those leaders had any concerns from a financial standpoint of holding a special election. Many of you know in 2021, I was elected in a special election to the county board. All those municipalities had to hold a special election. Not a single one of them complained about the cost because they believe in democracy and they believe that the voters should be picking who represents them on the county board. So I can appreciate that the appointment would be temporary. It wouldn't hopefully be a years long appointment like we have right now in some certain situations. It still is an appointment. And we all know, let's not be coy about it, let's just be honest, when you're appointed, you have the upper hand. And we've seen it a number of times. We've seen games be played where people resign the county board at a certain amount of time so that the county board chair could make an appointment, and then that person would have the upper hand running for re-election. We know the games that are being played here. Let's not be coy about it. Let's just be honest. So this is not about saving taxpayer money. And if it was, it's minuscule. And it's also worth it. There are certain things in our society that are worth funding and worth paying for. And holding an election to give the people the voice and the people the choice to represent their views and their values is something that's worth it. It's worth paying for. And it is a minuscule cost. And even if it's a low turnout election, maybe only 500 people vote, it's still 500 people that live in that district, that pay taxes in that district, that know the needs of that district. And I will always go over what they need and what they say, as opposed to one county board chair. So with that, I will certainly be voting no, and I encourage all of my colleagues to vote no as well.
Supervisor Engelberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last I checked, when we appoint, when people are appointed, they, No, there's a process, and the board chair in this case does have a chance to appoint, but there's a process that there's an interview, there's a public hearing, and then the board chair does not appoint. This body appoints per state statute, like all other municipalities. I've also looked at some of the ordinances for townships and some of the villages that were the complainers of the emails that we received. The process in their own ordinances are that the board, the town board or the village board appoints. It doesn't specify that the chair appoints, but it does, the board appoints in those cases. It also allows for special election, but it isn't the chair that's just appointing. It's done by the body. It's done by a process. I think it's not a problem what we're doing here. I think Henry's done a great job of bringing this forward and improving the situation for his students. And I would encourage everybody to vote aye on this.
Supervisor Furman.
Thank you, Chair. Many people probably know I was previously on the Madison Common Council, and in my final year on the council, we dealt with 5 vacancies out of 20. And so I spent a lot of time trying to look at how can we do it better. And there is no great way of doing it, but I do very much appreciate Supervisor Freeze's work on this, because I think this is a great improvement to what the current process is. I want to make it clear something that was just said. The county board chair makes a recommendation that the whole body has to vote on. And so it is not one person deciding. That person, the people who apply for vacancies need to go out and get signatures. There's a hearing held in that district. And that's all a public process. And then the county board chair makes a recommendation that they bring to the whole county board. And the whole county board has to decide yes or no, whether or not they want to see that person appointed. We heard tonight that $50,000 number for the Madison special election. To be clear, that was for a county supervisor, District 1, in 2025. So that was a county supervisor vacancy that cost the city of Madison $50,000 for one election. It's an incredible amount of money, and it was a very low turnout. We talk a lot about students. We've heard about students, but I want to remind people what the elections look like in the last 2 years. Some areas did have a spring 2024 primary in February, but most places had an April election, an August election, a November election in 2024. And then in 2025, there was a February election and an April election. And then for a supervisor District 1, there was a June election. That's a lot of elections to get people to pay attention to. And it's incredibly, incredibly difficult. I know, having worked with candidates in elections, to try to get people's attention. And so I really appreciate this change to align things with regularly scheduled elections, when people are much more likely to be accessible, paying attention, and going to vote. So thank you.
Supervisor Peterson.
Thank you, Chair. So in the village of Cottage Grove right now, there's supposed to be 7 people on the board, and there's currently 6. And we have to wait until the next election for someone to sit in that seat. And so it's created an awful lot of animosity and infighting, and it's not a good situation. So I'm in full support of this. And I guess I'm looking for feedback here. I guess the way I see this doesn't feel like that big of a change the more I read this. I think it makes it more flexible, I think is a good way to put it. It's not so rigid anymore. And again, I'm looking for feedback. That's how I think about this. So we got an awful lot of emails about, no kings and nominations. And I do agree with my peers here that we all have to vote on the nomination at the end of the day. So I'm not trying to minimize things, and I understand there's some concerns around this, but as my peer Supervisor Furman outlined, there are lots of municipal bodies in the county that do it very differently, and it's very varied, and it's a headache in general having to do nominations. But I applaud Supervisor Freeze's work on this and everyone else that co-sponsored this. So I will be in support of this. So thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Veldren.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one thing to also keep in mind, that the importance of the appointment. If we were to wait till the next election, where it could be nearly a year, that would be a constituency without anyone to talk to with issues, with concerns, to come and support them at a meeting, at a committee meeting, at a board meeting. So for not to have any representation, which is worse than the system we have. So it's very important that we do have someone in place as soon as possible. And then I understand there might be a little bit of a tilt, but I think you have to weigh the benefits of a person in a seat, as opposed to a person not there in a vacancy, as was just pointed out. So I think that's one of the most important things about not waiting until the next election cycle. Thank you.
I just want to clarify a misstatement of fact. There's not a situation in which a county board can leave a seat vacant unless it's too close to the end of a term, without there being first an appointment, and then there will be followed with an election. unless it's too close to the end of the term. It is in state statute, and it says, if a vacancy occurs on the board chairperson with approval of the board shall appoint a person. And then the statute continues from there to offer options for when elections can be called, and that's what Supervisor Fries did, is modeled it after that guidance. So, I'm pressing on the chat like it's a Supervisor Downing. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Chair Miles. Having spent 24 years as a town chairman, I can verify Supervisor Engelberger's comment or statement that some of the towns in Supervisor Wigand's district have the ability to appoint replacements on their own board. I think this is not very much so much different from that, and and it's also an improvement on our past process. Let's say all right and go with it. Thank you.
All right, with that, excuse me.
Yes,
for a second time, Supervisor Wigand.
Yeah, just two things. So to that last comment, yeah, townships can do that, but the difference is those town supervisors live in that township. That's the difference here. We're talking about a county board chair who does not represent those people. So you can't compare how towns do it to how the county's doing it. It's two different things. It's apples and oranges. When a town board has a vacancy, if they have that process to appoint someone, it's different because those people that are making that appointment already live in that municipality. That would not be the case with this ordinance amendment. Obviously, if the county board chair is vacant, then they wouldn't be appointing someone, so that it would never happen that way. The second thing I would say is that, yeah, we are self-organizing, so we can kind of do this. As long as we don't go afoul of state statute, we can do our own process because we are self-organizing. So the process that we have right now is we hold a special election. Our ordinance says if there's a vacancy before a certain amount of time, you hold a special election. So like in my case, there wasn't a huge gap between when my predecessor served and myself served. So this idea that, oh, there's this big gap and, you know, people are going to be without service, they're going to be without a supervisor, it's false. That's not true. That's not happening, because even all the elections that we had with, you know, the first district, there was not a huge gap. There was a short gap. So it was a very fast, efficient process. And I'm sorry, if Madison spent $50,000 on an election, then shame on Madison. They've got enough problems that they need to figure out with their election process. I guarantee you that not all my municipalities combined spent $50,000 on the special election that I won in 2021. So they can clean up their process. Let's not make their inefficiency an excuse to take away the voters' authority to choose who's going to be their representative. Thank you.
Supervisor Ritt has requested a roll call. The clerk will call the roll.
Furman.
Aye.
Furman, aye. Glazer.
Glazer, aye.
Glazer, aye.
Gray. Gray, aye.
Gray, aye. Huselman. Huselman, absent. Jackson.
Jackson, aye.
Jackson, aye. Kemp.
Kemp, aye.
Kemp, aye. Kagea. Kagea, absent. Crowning. I think Crowning's absent. Marin.
No.
Marin, no. McCarville. McCarville, absent. Peters.
Aye.
Peters, aye. Peterson.
Peterson, aye.
Posler.
Posler, aye.
Posler, aye. Ritt.
Ritt, no.
Ritt, no. Rose.
Rose, no.
Rose, no. Rylander.
Rylander, aye.
Rylander, aye. Smith. Smith, aye. Udell.
Udell,
aye. Veldren.
Aye.
Veldren, aye. Wegleitner. Wegleitner, aye. Wigand.
No.
Wigand, no. Welsh.
Aye.
Welsh, aye. Yang.
Aye.
Yang, aye. Andre. Andre, aye. Baruchuk. Baruchuk, aye. Blazewicz.
Aye.
Blazewicz, aye. Betcher.
Aye.
Betcher, aye. Bollig.
Bollig, aye.
Bollig, aye. Brower. Brower, aye. Chavla. Chavla, aye. Doolin.
Doolin, aye.
Doolin, aye. Downing.
Aye.
Downing, aye. Eicher.
No.
Eicher, no. Engelberger. Engelberger, aye. Erickson.
Aye.
Erickson, aye. Fries.
Freeze,
aye. Miles.
Miles, aye.
Miles, aye. 28-5.
With that, the ordinance amendment is adopted. All right. I just have to make an observation. When I was listening to Supervisor Freeze, I noticed Supervisor Reinleiter behind him. You're wearing last year's medal. You're quite proud of that. Last year's champion. Still feeling proud. All right. That we're on to resolutions. We have before us one item, Resolution 192, supporting reestablishment of a statewide comprehensive Good Samaritan law. What is before us is recommendation of approval, approved earlier this evening by the Executive Committee. Supervisor Baruchik.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and colleagues. I will be supporting this resolution today. I'm signed on as a co-sponsor. I'd like to share a story of a friend of mine who was in an unfortunate situation. She was at a house with her then boyfriend, and they were using drugs. She overdosed, became unconscious. The boyfriend called 911. Paramedics and police show up, and for whatever reason, decided to search that house and found more illegal drugs. And she was charged with possession of illegal controlled substance, and so was a boyfriend. Under current state law, the boyfriend, because he called 911, was immune from prosecution under the Good Samaritan law. My friend, who had overdosed on drugs, unconscious, unable to call for help for herself, charged with possession of a controlled substance. So I think that story hopefully illustrates this gap in our system, and I really appreciate this amendment, or excuse me, this resolution coming before us, and I ask all my colleagues to join me in voting yes. Thank you.
Any further discussion on Resolution 192? Okay. Hearing none, on the recommendation of approval, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. With that, the resolution is adopted. Excuse me. Pardon me. All right. With that, we have nothing else. So if there's no other business as allowed by law, is there a motion for adjournment? Moved by Udell. Seconded by Furman. And with that, we are adjourned. Just in time for me to hack up along.